We have your Bibles, if you will, turn with me to the book of Acts. We're looking at some ways that we can just practically share the gospel. We unpacked John 3:16, that beautiful snapshot of God's heart, of the gospel, of the good news that God has been laying out over the human history. Since man fell, God has been pursuing us with the gospel, with the good news, with the opportunity to know Him. And we're going to go to a passage that you know, but you probably never really thought about in the context of evangelism. And we're not really going to talk about a method of evangelism. But I think this is one of the most important components of evangelism that we often miss. Especially, how can I put this gently? As Lily White Southern Baptists, we struggle with passion in church anyway. Now, we're passionate about a lot of things, and we don't mind pronouncing our passion and demonstrating our passion over the right things, but very seldom do we get very passionate about the things of God. We get vocal as far as we'll profess things. We'll say what we believe, but man, we struggle with letting our face and our body language match our speech. We just struggle with it. Now I'm going to tell you, it just blows my mind. I just don't understand it. And it's easy to pick on music because I used to be a worship leader. So, and this is one of the things that I stayed on people about all the time. But we're singing, "Lead me to the cross where I lay me down." We're singing, "Yes, Lord, I'm trading my sorrows." Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. And we forget to let our face in on the deal. And man, there's a passage in Acts chapter 2. We love to go to Acts chapter 2 when we talk about how church is supposed to be and what we're supposed to be as a New Testament church. What are we supposed to be focused on? What are we supposed to be given to? It said that, man, they were given to these things, that they were devoted to these things. But there's a description right at the end of that passage that we often just kind of blow right over and don't ever give much attention to. But if we're going to have a message that people believe, they've got to believe that we believe it. They've got to think that we really believe and are committed to what we say we believe. It's like I used to tell choirs all the time, I tell praise teams all the time, I tell anybody that's up singing, whether it's a soloist or whatever, you know, there's two types of language. There's the spoken word. You're trying to share a message with somebody. The content of the music is what's important. The message there is, and people need to hear the message. But there's also a more powerful type of language, something that people pay much more attention to. It's called body language. And if your body language doesn't match your spoken language, guess what they're going to believe? Your body language. If you're standing before some people and you're supposed to be giving them a message, if you're supposed to be telling them something, where you're standing in front of class or you're standing in front of a group or maybe you're just in a conversation with somebody, and you want them to believe that you're paying attention, but if you're sitting there and you're just kind of as they're talking, or if you're talking to somebody and you're not looking at them, you're just kind of looking at the ground, you know, or maybe you're yawning. Do you really think they're going to believe you care about what you're saying? It's the same thing when we're singing. It's the same thing when we're teaching a lesson. It's the same thing that when we're talking about God. If we say that we have this good news, this great news, we need to let our body know that. We need to get a little bit of passion about who we are in Christ Jesus, and the one that we serve, and the one we're trying to share with people. If you will, turn with me to chapter 2, and we're going to pick up in verse 42. Now, this is on the day of Pentecost. This is right after Peter has his great oration, and he begins to share the gospel and tell the people about Jesus. And in verse 42, it says, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and their possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. And day by day they were continuing in one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and they were taking their meals together. And this is where I want you to start paying attention. With gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray. Lord God, I am so thankful that you love us. I'm so thankful that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. I'm so thankful that you invited us into this great endeavor called the gospel. God, you've given us charge of the good news. And you've told us to go and to share it. God, I've got to confess, Lord, we have been very low energy sharers. God, we have forgotten. We've lost our passion for you. We've lost our passion for people. We've lost our passion for the gospel. And Lord, I pray today that you would begin to awaken our hearts. God, you'd begin to awaken our passions for one another and for your word, for the gathering of your people, and Lord, for the sharing of your truth. God, help us get excited. Help us have a holy excitement about us every day, not just when we show up in this place, not just when we're singing before people or leading in worship, not just when we're teaching a class, but God, when we go to Walmart and we're standing in line. Lord, when we're paying a cashier at the gas station. Lord, when we're talking to a friend who's struggling. Lord, when we're sharing our hurts. God, I pray that our passion would be stirred about you and by you and for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this is right after Peter has his great presentation of the gospel. The disciples have been speaking in tongues, and people from all over the known world begin hearing in their own language, and they begin to believe. And man, they're excited. And these are just a few short days after this great revival that takes place, this great salvation that happens. And the people are gathering together, and it says, and we need to be devoted. And I think we are. We're devoted to the teachings of the apostles, the gospel, to the Bible. We're devoted to being together. We're devoted to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to praying together. But sometimes we leave out the passion that all of these things should develop in us. Now, I'm not advocating that we need to have some runners running laps during the music service, and we need to have people jumping up and down and hopping pews and all that. That's not what I'm talking about. But I dare say that there is something that you get excited about, and when you talk about it, it brings a smile to your face, an excitement to your voice, a bounce in your persona. I'm a new grandparent. I now understand what it means to talk about your grandkids. And man, I can talk about little G. And I get excited. I just can't help but smile. I can't help but just have some inflection in my voice. I can't help but want you to love him as much as I do. Now, some of you, it's hunting. Man, you can talk to some folks about hunting and they get fired up. Man, they go to sweating, their old neck starts swelling up. And their trigger finger starts twitching, and man, they just get pumped up. You don't have to wonder if they like hunting. Some people, it may be a type of food or a favorite place to eat. Some people, it's their favorite athletic team. Some people, it's just, I finally, my kids are gone, I get some quiet time, I can sit out at the house and read a book. They get fired up. But you know it when they're talking about it. Whatever it is that they're passionate about, whatever just really gets them wound up, they can't hide it. I don't care who you are. You can be the most stoic person in all the world. But when you start talking about something that you're passionate about, you don't have to tell people. Okay, you need to listen to this because I really do like this. You're fired up. You want them to believe and love whatever it is you love just as much as you do and get just as excited about it as you get about it. So why do we come to church? Why do we gather together? Why do we sing songs about this great God that we serve, this Jesus who died in our place? We celebrate this gospel and we talk about the Holy Spirit being in this place, but yet we come in and there is no excitement in our voice. There's no excitement in our face. There's no excitement in our countenance and our posture. I want to tell you, when I'm standing there singing, I don't know if you've noticed it back there. Sometimes I pray, God, don't let me be a distraction, but I just can't help but just about dance. I get excited when we start singing about Jesus. Now, I hope I don't bother you when I do. If I do, then you need to repent. But I get excited when I'm singing about Jesus. I get excited when I'm preaching. Sometimes I get more excited than others. But I'm passionate about what I'm doing. Because I love the Lord, and there is a holy calling on my life to share this good news and to teach other believers and to share the gospel with the lost, and I get fired up about that. But you see, that's what people are looking for. I'm telling you, this is more than just excitement. It's an authenticity that the world is looking for. See, when we say one thing and we behave a different way, when our spoken language doesn't match our body language, then people are confused. They're wondering which one we are really mean. Which one are they to believe? That's being inauthentic because you're sending mixed signals. You're not letting them see the truth because you're saying one thing, but your body language is saying something totally different. And that's very inauthentic. That puts people to kind of step back and, okay, which do I believe? Well, here, it wasn't an issue as to whether they believed what they were saying, this gospel that they had accepted, that they're preaching and they're sharing. The people around them didn't have to wonder if this Jesus really was real or he really made a difference in your life. They didn't have to wonder about that because they were telling it, but then they were living it. It was exciting. It was passion within them. Now, they were doing some good things. So they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings. They were continually devoting themselves to koinonia, community, fellowship. And they were breaking bread together, which probably meant the Lord's Supper, the remembrance meal that they shared every time they got together. They wasn't just doing it on Sunday. It says they were gathering in the temple, and then it says day by day, they were gathering in each other's homes. I'm just going to be honest. I understand. Sometimes I bore myself, and you know, sometimes I get a little long-winded. And some people, like, you know, they've made some little, you know, it's a long time, preacher. We come here, if you're a really good Baptist, you'll come 3 times a week. But most of the time, we average a couple times a week. We're in here a couple hours a week. These cats were coming to church on Sunday, then they was meeting at different folks' house every day of the week, breaking bread together, studying the Word together, doing life together, encouraging one another. They were real in their belief. They were passionate about this God that they had discovered or had discovered them. They were excited about Jesus. And because they met together, and just because they were doing all these good things, I don't think it made a whole lot of difference. The doing was not the thing that caught people's attention. Because we do things all the time. I mean, we'll have meetings here, we'll have meetings there, we'll have revival. But we have a hard time getting folks here. We have revival, and they're just kind of, I'm a good Baptist, I got to come to these meetings. It's not any passion. People come to church and we invite them to come and worship with us. But it's just not very exciting. So why would they want to give up 2 hours or an hour on Sunday to come, get dressed and get here and fix their hair and their makeup and put on some clothes, and when they could just lay around the house in their shorts and their t-shirt and cut grass and do something else productive, then come here and just kind of be unimpressed. See, these people, when these who were saved, these believers, when they were saved, they had a passion for what had happened. They had a passion for the one that they loved. They had a passion for the one that they served. They had a passion for each other. So they had kept feeling a sense of awe towards God, and a lot of signs and wonders were taking place. And they were generous. They were doing good things. I'm going to tell you, you are some generous people. We have taken up love offerings for folks, and you guys have gone above and beyond and give a lot of stuff. I don't think it was the giving that really impressed a lot of people. It was that last part that grabbed people's hearts. It says they were taking their meals together with gladness, sincerity of heart, and they're praising God. There was an excitement in the air. And most of the churches I've been in, that was the part that was missing. People love Jesus. I have no doubt that people love Jesus. Even at the church I was at before, I believe that I know for a fact there were some people that loved Jesus, but there was not any excitement. And I know for a fact you people love Jesus, but sometimes I wonder where our excitement is about Jesus. When people come, there needs to be such a passion for God, such a passion for each other, such a joy about ourselves because we have been redeemed. We have been bought with a price. We are loved. We are saved. We are forgiven. We are children of God. We have a home in heaven. This is not what our life is all about, is right here. And when people are around that, people get intrigued. I've been to churches that, man, you walk in the door and the excitement and the passion is palatable. I mean, you walk through the door and there's an excitement, there's an electricity. The music hadn't started, the service hadn't started, nothing's going on, but just people are kind of hanging out. But there is a buzz in the air. There's an excitement in the air. It's very obvious that they love one another. They love people. And when you walk in the door, man, they let you know they love you. And I'm so thankful that you guys are very open and welcoming to visitors that come in. But what I want to ask is there a palatable passion for God when people come here? Is there a palatable passion for God when we meet people in the world, outside these four walls? I mean, the general attitude of the world, especially towards Southern Baptists, those are those angry Baptists. I was going to tell you, some of the meanest people I ever met is in church. Some of the coldest people I've ever met. Been in church all our life. Tithe regular, I think. At least they say they do. Go to Sunday school every Sunday. But they are the frozen chosen. Their heart is as cold as doctrine. Doctrine can be crystal clear. It can be as clear as ice. You can have the purest doctrine in the world as if it was ice that came from a glacier where there was no pollution, just crystal clear. But if doctrine is what we focus on and doctrine is the sum of our relationship with God, our heart is going to be just as cold as ice. Passion comes from a personal relationship with the Lord, a daily walk with Him, an overflow of what God has done, is doing, and has promised to do. And there's an excitement that needs to accompany the gospel that makes it believable, that makes it authentic to the world. Man, people are looking for something to get excited about. Something that's worth their passion. Something that's worth their energy. Something that matters. And sometimes we we disarm the gospel. Sometimes we diffuse the gospel when we aren't passionate about the one who is the gospel. And man, we need to have an excitement about us, that a joy that's unmistakable, a joy that's unhindered by our circumstances and how we feel that day. I'm going to tell you, I've really tried to make and I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Now, please don't think I'm trying to toot my own horn or anything, but I've tried to make a practice of when I say good morning to somebody outside the church at a grocery store or at the gas station or whatever, when I say good morning, I look at them in the eye and I say good morning with passion. Like I really care what because I do. And if they want to give me not going so good today, stop, okay, man, how are you doing? But speaking to people with passion, with excitement, like you really care about them. And I've gotten some funny looks from cashiers at Walmart and the grocery store. Because they'll ask me, how are you doing? I'm doing great. How are you? Never had that response before. hey, it's been a long day, but it's been a good day. How are you doing? To see the reaction, the response that you get from people when you ask it. In the South, we say good morning to everybody. Morning, morning. How you doing? Walk on by. Because it's the neighborly thing to do. It's the Southern thing to do to address people, speak to people when you walk in. Nothing drives me more crazy than somebody walk in at Sam's or somewhere where they got a greeter and so they speak to them and them not reply. Oh, that drives me nuts. If somebody's going to speak to me, let me speak back to them with encouragement. Let me speak back to them with excitement. Man, you want to see people just caught off guard or brighten their day. You speak to them like you care about them. Even if it's just in passing, it don't take any more effort. Occasionally, it may take you just 2 or 3 seconds or 30 seconds more to carry on a slight conversation with them, but man, they take notice when we speak with passion and we speak like we care. Man, how much more will people take notice when we talk about Jesus, when we share the gospel, when we praise God, as it says they were doing here, when we give with joy. When we come together, we fellowship with joy. When we sing with joy and passion. Or brokenness. See, passion is not all about just smiles and everything's rosy. Sometimes passion is you break down and you're crying. You're broken over whatever's going on in your life. And you're hurting. And it's okay. Man, there are times I sit here on the front and as I'm singing, I'm weeping. Again, I'm not the measure. But I love Jesus. And I get excited about the things that pertain to Jesus. And when people begin to see that in our lives, they take notice. That made their gatherings different. That made their witness different. That made their giving different. That made their fellowship different. And it says in verse 47, and they were having favor with all the people. Not just the ones in the fellowship, not just the ones that were saved, but everybody saw the radical difference in these folks and the change of attitude and the change of heart that had taken place. And everybody wanted to be around them. It says, and God was adding to their number daily. The world today says that the church is full of hypocrites. The world today has the attitude that that's just a bunch of angry Baptists. They know more about what we're against than what we're for. Some of the sourest faces I've seen from the pulpit. And some of the sourest faces I've seen in the pulpit. Man, ain't nothing drives me more crazy than a mad preacher standing up here talking about Jesus. Get excited. Get passionate. Sometimes you need to get a little forceful. But for the most part, man, we need to be excited about the Word of God. And it draws people. People want to be around positive people. People want to be around people that are passionate about good things. People want to be around people that brighten their day. You can't be the light of the world with a frown on your face. It's just not possible. And it's just little things like that that makes all the difference in the world. So as we're talking about evangelism and sharing the gospel, I thought it was very important that we nailed down. Look, it's as much about attitude as it is about message. It's as much about passion as it is about doctrine. Guys, we need to get excited about the one that saved us. We need to get passionate about this good news that's for all the world. We need to get passionate about the fact that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's for everyone. And when we can get passionate, when we can get excited, and people see us, and they hear us, and what we say matches our body language, then they'll take notice. We do a lot of things out in the community. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so thankful for you guys. We go up and we feed teachers. We fed the Chamber of Commerce at the school while they were there just to help and serve the administration and get other folks in the community besides just the school to, hey, we care about y'all too. And we do a lot of stuff, Easter egg hunts and all that kind of stuff. But if we do it with a sour attitude, if we do it because I've just got to do it, well, the preacher said do it, I need to do it, and, you know, I'll do it. If we don't do it with passion, if we don't do it with excitement, if we don't do it out of love, then people aren't going to care. It's just another event. 1 John 5:3 says this. This is the love of God. This is what the love of God produces in His people. This is how we can measure if we really love God. Okay? You ready? That we keep His commandments. And that's where we usually stop. Well, I just got to keep His commandments. If I keep His commandments and I'm good, then I love Jesus. But the second part of it says, and His commandments are not a burden. We keep His commandments with a great attitude. When I was, Rand and I were raising our children, we had to explain to them what obedience was. Okay? You can do the right thing, but do it with the wrong attitude, and it's not obedience. Obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with a right attitude. Well, I'm going to do it, but I ain't going to like it. That's not obedience. That's rebellion from the heart. I know I got to go in here and clean my room. I'll clean my room. That's not obedience. That's disobedience. That's rebellion. You just don't want to get your butt whipped. That's not being obedient. The same thing with God. We do that to God all the time. God says, I got to do this, so I'm going to do it. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to be obedient, I'm going to do it. It's not being obedient. The love of God is this, that you keep His commands, and His commandments aren't burdensome. See, when we love somebody, doing things for them are a joy. when we love God, living under His authority is a joy. Yeah, sometimes we have to do the hard things, but even the hard things can be pleasant, can be done in joy. Husbands, there are some things you do for your wife. It's kind of hard for us that we really ain't real fond of doing, but we do them with the right attitude because we love our wife. Wives, there's a lot of things you do for us that's not really your funnest thing to do, but you do it with the right attitude because you love us. Praise Jesus, you love us. So, just to sum up, get excited about Jesus. If you want people to believe your witness, be passionate about the one you're talking about. If you want people to believe the gospel, be passionate about the gospel. If you want people to be passionate about coming to this place and excited about coming to this place, be passionate about the one we're singing of. Invite your face to the party. Now, this is just extra here. I didn't plan on saying this, but it's the truth. I've heard it 1,000 times, and it's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Well, I can't sing and smile at the same time. That's a lie. If you can talk and smile, you can sing and smile. You just got to care enough about what you're singing about. Because I promise you, the things that you're passionate about, you can't talk about them without being excited. You can't get it. Those of you who are sports fans, you can't watch your favorite team and they're winning and not get fired up. Get a little pep in your step, a little bounce. Get them. We're on the winning team, people. Let's get excited. It's okay to move when you're singing. I tell you, I was fired up with the choir this morning. Choir, you did a great job. And it wasn't so much about the song or the music. It wasn't about the notes. There was actually some folks smiling. That's a big deal in the Baptist church. There were some of you that was actually moving a little bit. That's awesome. It's a good thing. We need to understand that, look, it ain't about being the frozen chosen. It ain't about, reverence is not standing still with a scowl on your face. That's not reverence. That's lying to folks when you're trying to tell them about Jesus. Again, I'm not advocating runners. I'm not advocating pew hoppers. I just want you to smile, get excited, and be passionate about the one that is so passionate about you that he died for you. And when we get passionate about him, people will take notice. God can use us to share the gospel more than he is now. So when you invite him with passion. When you invite him and they get here, you get excited about them being here. When you invite them and they don't show up, you get excited about the other folks that showed up. Let's just be excited. We need to develop an atmosphere of excitement in this place that's palatable, that's tangible, and it's unmistakable that we love Jesus. And we're excited about what he's doing in and through us. People will buy into that. Let's stand. If you're here tonight and man, you've never accepted Jesus. You don't know what you're missing. The greatest decision you'd ever make in your life is to surrender your heart and your life to the one that died for you, that loves you more than anybody in this world could ever love you, and wants to have a relationship with just you. If you're here and you've been saved, and man, maybe this spoke to your heart today and convicted you a little bit. That's okay. Conviction's a good thing. Because with conviction always comes the grace to repent and to be different. Man, fall in love with Jesus. You ain't got to fake nothing. You ain't got to plaster a smile on your face like some TV preacher I know. Whew, drives me crazy. But fall in love with Jesus. Focus on your relationship. Learn more about Him. Draw closer to Him. And you can't help but love Him more. See what He'll do. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank You so much for this night. And Lord, I pray that this thing that seems so simple, but God, in reality, has become so difficult for us. Lord, it ought to be normal for us to get excited about You, about Your Word, about worshiping You, about spending time with You, about studying Your Word. God, it ought to just be natural to be passionate about those things. But Lord, we let so many things hinder us, and we let so many things draw our passions away. We let our traditions and our pride keep us from smiling. And Lord, I pray that the people of this world who desperately need to know You would see Your glow on us. That Your light would so shine in our lives, in our hearts, that people would know we've been spending time with You. And may our body language match our spoken word. And God, help us just to love You and love people and share Your truth with joy. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.